good morning, everyone.
Y'all enjoyed your study in Proverbs this year? Yes? Good. I think it's an excellent idea, looking at some of the thoughts and admonitions in Proverbs is an excellent idea. Wanted to look at the subject that I chose this morning was wisdom, or being wise, and wisdom found in the book of Proverbs. So let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, as we look at it as that this morning, it's you speaking to us. Father, help us to listen and help us to put everything else aside and to allow you to speak to us. And Father, help it to change us, to make us more like your Son, and help us to make a difference for you as we leave out of here in our walk in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. I picked as a verse to start with Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. There's a lot of emphasis today. I can't help but laugh. She took kids to the nursery and they moved. Happy is the man who finds this. That's like coming home and there's a road map on the door, right? A lot of emphasis today is, that's not near as bad though as Ken Gross. I can tell one on Ken Gross. You can start my recording, zero this out and start after I finish about Ken Gross, okay? He's been in the department longer than I, he's got seniority. Yeah, he got up to use the restroom one time at our chapel. And he came, it was a night meeting. He came back and sat down and he sat on the wrong row and put his arm around the lady next to him. And it wasn't his wife. True story. Now you can start the recording. I hope that's my friend back there. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. Happy is that man who finds wisdom. That's what I chose to speak on this morning in Proverbs, was wisdom and wise. There's not anybody in here that should not desire to be wise and attain wisdom as we go through this life. Now, a lot of people put a big emphasis on formal education, and that's great. We should all, if you look at the statistics of what you make with and without it, it's a no-brainer to go to school. But what I'm referring to is people, even Georgia Tech, I guess, is okay. He's gone, isn't he? He's back there listening. Oh, no. I hope he's not on the tape. Seriously. Education is very important. But now, in the world we live in, understand that there's people all around us that can get so carried away with education, and other things too. But education, because we're looking at wisdom and being smart and knowledge and all that this morning. And the way the world's going to look at it is, what do you do for a living? That's what they'll ask you. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to put you in a little slot. What do you do? Well, I ride on a back of a truck. Saying moan back? No. You know, I know most of those people in my town. They've been in my jail, and they've gotten out, and they know me first name. Most of the people that ride on the back of the garbage trucks now. But, you know, they try to ask you what you do, but it's very important that we do have formal education and that we are, and the Lord wants us to do well. The Lord loves for us to make money and to be able to support missionaries and for us to be able to support a lot of His works. And He blesses people who put Him first. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. That's the truly wise person. Not how many degrees. I met a guy one time, again, and my stories are true. All but the Georgia Tech one. But y'all, a guy was speaking. And it was Elliot Van Ryan, so if any of you remember him. But Elliott Vanderbilt, okay, I got a couple of nods. He was on platform at a conference, and it was these guys, and these guys had all of these different degrees. Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so and Elliott Van Ryan. And he's an old country boy, if y'all remember him. And he says, well, I just want y'all to know that it's a pleasure to be on here with all of you doctors. He said, but I too have a PhD. He said, I'm a post-hole digger. And it just brought the house down. A lot better than you guys left. But degrees are great. The trouble people have is, and like I say, other things can do this to you too, is to get your focus off of God and to be so focused on whether it be money, position, schooling. I know people that can make a career their whole life out of going to school and still not have a focus. We need to be careful. If you can so go, do it. But it's talking about wisdom here. And I think wisdom is quite different than what we get going to school. This verse says, happy is the man who finds wisdom. Now look over, and I'm going to be looking at a few verses because I don't want to try to tell you what they say. And that most of them will be in Proverbs this morning. If you do not care to flip back and forth a bunch, I promise to read to the best of my ability exactly what they say. Proverbs 24 and verse 13 and 14. The verse we look, while you're turning there, the verse we already looked says, "To the happy is the man who attains wisdom and gets understanding." Y'all, we can be happy and gain understanding, verse 13 of chapter 3 already told us. Now, understanding is wisdom, understanding things, because we don't rush in. When we understand things, we think a little bit before engaging your mouth or maybe your feet sometimes. Proverbs 24 and verse 13 and 14, I want to read two verses. My son, eat the honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to your taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. If you have found it, there is a prospect, and your hope will not be cut off. Your version may say, if you found it, there is a latter end or a future. It's all meaning the same meaning. There is a future or latter end, a hope that will not be cut off. He who gets wisdom is smart. If you find this wisdom is telling you right here that your prospect or your future or your latter end or and like I said, mine said, which word did mine use out of all of those I just named? Your prospect. I'm trying to find where my note is right there, which I have it right beside it and means latter end. Y'all, your prospect of your future is going to be hope-filled and not be cut off. Now, I don't know about you, but our future is important to each one of us. I don't know how you consider that. It's very high on my list, what I'm allowed to do tomorrow and being used of the Lord. My future is surely in His hands, and He's the only one that can control it, so I need to leave it there. Proverbs 19:8, just a few pages back. And I don't normally use this many verses, and I won't say anything else about that. He who gets wisdom, Proverbs 19:8, he who gets wisdom, there's our word, loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding, that's understanding again, as two of our three verses have understanding in it too, associated with wisdom. He who keeps understanding will find good. Y'all, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. I want to tell you right here, when I read that verse, it's got wisdom in it. It's a good verse. Our subject is wisdom. But it says he loves his own soul. That is one of the few places I think you will find that it's in a positive context to love yourself. We're told, esteem others. The servant is greater. Do unto others. A lot of this you're blitzed with through the Bible, and very little is said about that self-emphasis. But here I think it's a positive thing, because it tells us, right here in verse 8 of chapter 19, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. I think what it's telling you, he who gets wisdom loves himself. And usually, like I say, that's out of context of what the Bible normally talks about wisdom. I mean, normally talks about being in love with yourself. You think of the person that stays in front of the mirror all the time, maybe, or whatever. But y'all, here I think is what it's saying is, do yourself a huge favor. Attain wisdom. Get biblical, godly wisdom. Apply it to your walk each and every day, and you're doing yourself a huge favor. You're loving yourself if you care about having wisdom. I like that. And that's what it says. Do yourself a huge favor. Love yourself and get wisdom. Well, being happy, wise and happy go together. Being happy and happiness is a big deal also. Happiness does not necessarily come from wisdom. Wise people are not necessarily, people that are happy are not necessarily wise people. Happiness can come from other things. Think about it. You think, I'm going to be wise and I'm going to be happy. Or, you know, I used to hear fat and happy, but you don't say that anymore. Wise and happy. Y'all, think about it. What excites and gives happiness to a terrorist? Huh? Killing a bunch of people. Sad, isn't it? A scholar may be writing books. A musician, recordings, selling in the millions. You know, happiness comes in different avenues, doesn't it? And it comes from different things. Athletes, breaking records. I got a nephew. I'll plug him right here. Make sure the tape's going. His name is Jordan Scott. I'm going to be famous with him one day. He's my nephew's a problem. And he's actually from Oconee County out of Athens. But he's a professional pole vaulter, and he is the number one, U.S. number one indoor pole vaulting champion right now as we speak. And he's traveling to Japan and Mexico, and he just turned professional. Easy to remember. My name's last name Scott, Jordan River. He's Jordan Scott. That's the way I have to remember things. Sorry. But what makes him happy? Breaking a record. Y'all, what makes people happy? Different things to different people. Different things to different people. Athletes can do that. A gambler. Oh, he's excited and happy if he goes to Vegas and wins, which probably won't happen ever again, so leave. They're not there with those multi-million dollar locations to let you win every time. What makes people happy? Different things. How about that's the things that make people happy, and not all of them are wisdom, so you can't go by a person that seems to be happy. How about not just the sources of stuff, or the things, but what about the sources of happiness? Oh, wow, I have to think about my job as being a counselor in jail with that. What makes a lot of people happy that I meet in jail? Maybe drugs, they think. Alcohol, sex. Television. There's different things. Eating, exercise. It can even be exercise. People can get all excited and happy about and still not be wise and have wisdom. And not be well balanced in God's eyes. These things can bring, and a lot of them are not bad at all. Well, most of those were. But things that make us happy does not necessarily mean they're bad. But they will not bring true, lasting happiness. What am I saying? They will leave you frustrated. They will leave you unfulfilled and wondering, what else? It's kind of like a guy told me one time, who is happiest, the guy with $1 million or the one with 12 kids? The guy with 12 kids. You never hear him say, I want more, you know? And I thought Ken Gross's joke was funnier than that. Y'all, so many things in life can leave you unfulfilled, unsatisfied, wanting more. That's the way the devil is. And he's the first one to say, oh, you can do it. And then he's the first one to say, you're stupid. You think you're going to get away with that? Oh, if I could just tell you all the different times I've heard that in jail from people. Man, I kept doing this and kept doing more. You know, you may have started with the old saying, a cookie in a cookie jar, you know? And then you stole this and you pocketed that in a store and walked out. And no, people steal stuff from stores, do they? You know, and then you turn around and you do that. And then one day you're going to walk in with a gun and put it to a guy's head and try to rob the store. You know, they say, well, I would have never done that to start with, but I got confidence and I was getting excited. Oh, the Satan is excellent at that. Be careful. Be careful. The ultimate and eternal happiness can only be found in the Lord. That's the only thing that will never let you down. Jesus Christ will never let you down. I like that passage that Andrew read this morning. What's going to separate you from God's love? Y'all, you read that. And if he doesn't name everything from termites to sonic boom, he gets in there and he says, and all anything else ever created isn't going to separate. You can't be separated. You know, all else that's ever created, y'all, it's getting pretty inclusive there too, isn't it? Y'all, Jesus loves you. That's something you'll never get to grasp around fully, how much he truly loves you. It was mentioned this morning at the Lord's table, you know, about him going to that Last Supper that night. Y'all, what he said in Luke, he actually said, with fervent desire, I desire to spend this last time with y'all. And what he's saying is, I don't care if you were arguing over who's going to be the greatest 5 minutes ago, or which one of you going to deny me and curse it out here with a little servant girl. I don't care. And which one are you going to fall asleep when I said, simply stay awake and pray with me. This is an important moment of agony and sweating as it was drops of blood in the garden and you're sleeping. He knew all of that and how sorry we are. But he said, with fervent desire, I desire to eat this Passover with you. Oh, what a love that Jesus has for you. Never forget that. Knowing him is happiness. Because you can't go wrong. That's true happiness. Because that's wisdom. Coming to Jesus Christ is wise. Well, what are some of the signs? What are some of the signs to see in a person who truly has wisdom? What are some of the signs to see in a person that truly has wisdom? Proverbs 9. Proverbs chapter 9, and I want to read verse 10. As we think about some of the signs of people who have wisdom, and you're going to start thinking of all these different people, start and put them on a scale now and check them out. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the one that would have probably all of you guessed. If I asked you where wisdom come from, that's probably one most of us would have picked. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Y'all, as I already said, a person who is saved is wise. That's a wise person. I don't care how many degrees and letters you got after your name, and if you're not saved, you're not wise. As old boy said one time, I know Jesus. He's A to Z. How many letters you got after your name? You know, the Alpha to Omega. If we know him, we got it all, don't we? The whole thing. A person who is saved is wise. Another sign of a wise person, just a couple of page over, Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes shame, but the humble is wisdom. Y'all, that's another sign of a wise person is a person that is not a bragger. A humbled person is wise. I learned when I was in real estate for 22 years, I learned real quick. If they want to tell me how much they got and price is no option, you might as well go on and show somebody else houses and go ahead and send them home. They don't have anything. It's the person that's sneaky. Don't want to spend any more than they have to. That's probably the person that can pay cash for it, if the truth be known. The braggers. Y'all, the humble people in God's eyes. He tells you right here, this is his word. And his word just told you, inspired word of God right here, says the humble person is wise. Are you marked by humility, or are you what people would say is a bragger? We can sure change tomorrow, can't we? We can come to the Lord and ask for help to be humble. Humility characterizes a wise person, according to God. And you don't give me better standards to go by than what God's telling us here. The person who is proud does not fear the Lord. A proud person doesn't have appropriate fear of the Lord. We said, you know, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A proud person doesn't fear the Lord. They're wanting to take credit for things that God does for them. God is ultimately responsible for all things. And you want to take credit for it because you want to brag about how you did it. I love because salvation is only by putting your faith 100% in Jesus Christ. If there's anything we had to do or add to it, and he said it was finished and we don't have to add anything to it. If there was anything, some of us would be saying, oh, I did it better than you did it. And then some are like my wife would be saying, oh, I got to keep doing it again because I'm afraid I didn't do it right. Y'all, we're different, aren't we? But it's what he did, and he did perfect. And in Romans, I believe it's chapter 1, verse 4, says, he is who he said he is, and he proves it by being raised from the dead. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ proves he defeated our old foe that we're going to face last year, and that's death. He defeated it. He's victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Who have we to fear of any of those? Deuteronomy chapter 4. Oh, I got you out of Proverbs, didn't I? Deuteronomy chapter 4, in just two verses, verse 5 and 6. Surely I have taught you the statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act accordingly to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples. Do you hear that? Obeying, here's another sign of wise, another sign of someone. If you want to be wise in God's opinion and in God's measurements, it tells you right here that you should taught you the statutes and judgments, obey them, the commands of God. Are you in the Word and learning them? Oh, he's got a lot of do's and don'ts. A lot of promises you can claim too. Obey his word. Back here in Deuteronomy to his people. And today, Matthew, and I think I could almost quote this one, but I better go to it. Matthew 7 in verse 24, Jesus Christ himself speaking, and he says, therefore, it's a good way to start something. You got to look and see what it's there for, right? Therefore, whoever, same thing, Jesus Christ here, God telling Moses back then, listen what it's telling you. Same thing, to be wise, obey his word. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, what does he say? I will liken him to the wise man. So if you want to be wise, if you want wisdom, obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. There's a lot of things in here that you can learn that we should obey and follow. And then I don't know anything better than to think that when I'm going to see the Lord one day, he's going to say that I was wise by obeying him. And he's going to say, come on in, your family. Both places. Wisdom is obeying God's word. First hear it, then obey it. Read it, hear it. Jesus tells you a lot of times, hey, if you got ears, hear it. Listen. That applies to us. If you got ears, listen to it. Think before we go any further, and we're talking about, and I'm going to jump subjects in a minute, but be talking right now about things or signs that we see in a person that we can observe. He's got wisdom. I want to, before I leave that, I'm going to go to something else on wisdom, but before I leave the different things that you see in a person that has wisdom. First was what? You need to be saved. Second, you got to be humble. Next, you got to obey God's word. And now this one, before we leave the subject, the last one, number four. I think we should say something about things that you encounter here on planet Earth that you can't go chapter verse on. Okay? Example. I don't think Solomon, even if he was today as wise as he was and having our Bible, couldn't go chapter verse on Google, all right? Can you imagine Solomon Googling something? But you Google here and you say, where is two harlots arguing over a dead baby? One of them saying it's hers and it's live, and the other one's dead. Which, what are you, what do I go chapter and verse that'll tell me what to do? Solomon couldn't have done that. There's different things that are not covered chapter verse. What am I saying? Godly wisdom comes from studying the Word of God. We get what is called a sensitive spirit to the Lord. The Holy Spirit indwells the believer, and we have an ability to make godly decisions based on the Word of God as a whole and not having a particular chapter verse to go to. There's no biblical command Solomon would have seen to judge two harlots and a dead baby and a live baby to pick. Y'all, we get this kind of wisdom, as I say, we get it from a sensitive and kind spirit which allows us to be discerning with the Word of God. And that's what the Queen of Sheba come up and said. She hadn't even seen the half of it. She didn't even realize how wise he was. She liked his riches too. It impressed her. But the wisdom that he had. And what did Solomon do? He asked for wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. But we get wisdom also. And this ties in with studying the Word of God. But it comes from a sensitive and kind spirit. And makes us able to discern the will of God in things. And I base that thought on. And one of the verses would be Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2, it covers what I'm trying to say here a lot better than I could say it. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove yourself what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are we renewing our minds with the Word of God? That's what a wise person can be noted as doing. Renewing his mind by the Word of God. And then over just a couple of verses in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, we read something that ties in very well with that. For this reason, also since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be what? Filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Y'all, that is Paul's prayer for the people. That is his prayer that we can apply to you and I today, that we would be filled with the knowledge of God's will and in all wisdom. Y'all, there's a lot of decisions we may make. There's people will come to you. If you're walking correctly, you will have people come to you and ask you questions. Your walk and your light and your salt in this earth today, in this world we're walking in today, you will stand out when people get rattled and you remain to be kind of cool and calm and not so taken up with the disasters supposedly the world goes through, because you're just pilgrims and strangers passing through, and we have this mindset that we're seeking that home above as Abraham was. People will say, well, tell me how you have a peace through this. Didn't you read the stock market just dropped 400 points today? Example. Y'all, wonderful verse. Wonderful verse. Wisdom and spiritual understanding go naturally together. You will not be wise if you are not a spiritual understanding person based on the Word of God and the different truths that it teaches us. Now we're going to kind of change tracks a little bit. I said, what are some of the signs that you can see people that are wise? What about, what does the Bible say? It says, get wisdom. What is a, how can you get wisdom? How can you get wisdom? Well, I would say first thing I would bring up, how to get wisdom. That's something we should all be interested in. It's Proverbs 4, 7 and 8. Proverbs 4, 7 and 8. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Have y'all noticed how many times wisdom and understanding come in here? Exalt her, verse 8, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. Well, guys, I need to say something. Do you get hit like I do here? It's talking about wisdom and it keeps saying her and she. What's going on here? It's helping us be more humble so we can be wise, right? Referring to all of this great thing we want, wisdom and being wise as a female, the female thing. Seek her. So the first thing I would say, desire wisdom with all your might. Desire wisdom. Proverbs 2:4 tells us something there too. If you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasures. You know, that's the way we should be looking for wisdom in this life. Wisdom should be, godly wisdom should be something we're seeking as if it was a treasure that we're trying to get. Are we seeking it with all our heart? Seek wisdom. Secondly, it's found in the Word of God. And the second thing was, apply yourselves to studying God's Word and meditation of God's Word and know it. Study God's Word. Meditate on it. Don't just say, well, what'd you read today? Oh, John 21. Well, what did it say? Well, I don't remember. Get something. Get something you can chew on when you leave. Read and meditate on God's Word. Y'all, faithful Bible study is wisdom. True wisdom is required. Attaining true wisdom is required studying your Bible. Meditating on God's Word is required to attain true wisdom. Third things, pray. What will Solomon ask? Solomon, I can give you, and it's my version, I can give you anything you want. What do you want? Wow. That would have been hard, wouldn't it? There are a lot of people. He wanted discerning wisdom. Wow. Impress me. Impresses you, doesn't it? He just wanted wisdom. Y'all, something we should all be that desirous of. A guy that could have asked for anything, God gave him. And on top of him being that such of a great godly man to seek and ask for wisdom, God said, well, I don't know if he told him right away, but I'm going to give you everything else too. You know about getting your cake and eat it too. He got all the frills in life. Plus, he got the wisdom, which was what he asked for. Y'all, we need to be praying for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. Daniel prayed and gave thanks, what? For the wisdom God revealed to him. And God the wisdom that was revealed from God to Daniel, we read about. That was a prayer of Daniel's. Was strictly for wisdom to be revealed to him. And we read over in, just a second ago, a minute ago, we read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9 where Paul was praying for Colossae, but the churches. Paul prays for the churches. He prays for them to what? Have wisdom and understanding. That's a prayer that would be for you today too, that we would have wisdom in spiritual matters. And then fourthly, the first one was what? Desire wisdom with all your might. The second one was study the word of God. It says show yourself approved, but study the word of God. Meditate on scripture to be wise. The third one was to pray. Pray and ask God to help you with wisdom and to be wise. And fourthly, this one's going to hit you by surprise. Fourthly, wisdom can be attained by thinking about death. Isn't a funeral an excellent time that people start thinking, where would I be today? I remember this girl the lady that I met, friend of Terry's, that I met her and was talking to her, and somebody had died. And I said, where would you be if you died? You know, that sounds like a Baptist line, doesn't it? Where are you going to be tonight if you die? That's what they can knock on your door and say. But, you know, the point I'm making is that she thought, and she says, I don't know. Y'all, death is an excellent time to think about wisdom. Because a truly wise person knows where they're going, and they're assured that they have already taken out a purchase of a one-way ticket to heaven, so to speak. You're talking about a wonderful retirement program. We worry so much about your 401k, and when that stock market drops, all that I talked about, your 401k might be a 201k before you know it. I don't know, but what difference? You know, God's in control. He's still on the throne. He's still on the throne, y'all. What we're looking at is his promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. How about that one? And where I am, I'll come and get you where you can be with me. I mean, try to grasp that he knows you better than you'd let anybody know yourself. Those thoughts that you would never tell anybody. He knows all of those, and yet he says, I want you to come and be with me for eternity. Wow. I want assurance of being there. That's wise. That is wisdom. Sounds kind of crazy, but wisdom can be thinking about death. Psalm 90, verse 12. I did a funeral a while back on this. Teach us the number of your days. Y'all, you don't know your number. That's the trick. He does. But yet we want to say, well, how old are you? Well, I'm 64 this year. Yeah. Number your days. Don't be like the guy in James chapter, was it? 4, that says, I'm going to go to this city and I'm going to buy and sell and make a profit. Next year I'm going to have money in the bank. Yeah, you fool. You don't know where you're going to be. Number your days. Make each one count. That's wisdom. Don't start counting. You know, so many of us, and I guess it's because of the pace we live at, we want to know everything before we get started. Tell me you don't do that. Am I the only one? Why do we hit Google Maps or whatever and we want the shortest route to get there? You know, Abraham, poor Abraham, he just said, get up in the morning and leave. Leave your family. Well, where are we going? He said, I didn't tell you, did I? I want to see your faith. Y'all, that's what he wants out of us. Faith to follow him without knowing. John 7:17 tells us a big thing too. It says that, you know, before you, his doctrine, he will reveal to you when you get moving. Think of a bicycle. You don't start steering and going on a bicycle until it moves, right? You got to be like the bicycle. You got to start moving. And he can steer you then, can he? Wise people know these things. And they're desirous of serving the Lord. I already said one of the enemies people have is television. I can plug that one now. See, we don't have one. Our kids thought we were horrible, but we don't have a TV. Lastly, first one was, desire it with all your might. Desire wisdom. Hunger for it. Want it. Secondly was, study and meditate on the Word of God if you want to be wise. Thirdly was to pray for it. Pray that God would continue to make you wise and give you wisdom. Fourthly, death can bring about thoughts of that. Seize the opportunity to ask someone, have you made preparations for eternity? I mean, we're told in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says that you're made in the image of God. And chapter 2, verse 7, it said he breathed the breath of life into you. You can make a little deal out of it if you want to talk to somebody and say, look, we're a little different than dogs and cats and horses and flowers and trees. You know, we're in for the long haul. he created us different than everything else. Where are you going to spend your eternity? Be glad to show you there's two choices. You know, it's kind of like a coin. Where are you going? Heads you win, tails you lose. Heaven's a winner, hell's a loser. Hell wasn't even created for people. It was created for the devil. But those who do not accept Jesus Christ are rejecting him and are consequently following the devil. Lastly, fifth one. Wisdom. How do you get it? Get saved. That one's kind of come across in many of them, hasn't it? But I have to end with that one because that's the big one. That's the grand finale. That's the beginning. That's the middle. And that's the end. Get saved. If a person is not saved, he is not, in God's opinion, he is not wise if he's not saved. I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care how much you know. I don't care if you can go on one of those game shows and win everything. You're not wise in God's book if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. John 14:6 makes it easy. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. Is that inclusive enough? No man comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Have you entered into that new birth? Oh, first birth was from Adam, and he was a sinner. And Romans 3:23 tells us all of us are sinners born from Adam. All are born sinners. So we got to do something about it. And Jesus did it for us. But you don't get that unless you accept it. As was mentioned earlier, gift is only good when you take it. And may I say, open it up and enjoy it. And that's salvation. Have you come to Jesus Christ? And are you born again? Are you saved? Have you asked him to forgive your sins and put your faith and trust in him in that finished work on Calvary's cross? At that point, God has to have a little checklist. He said, wise. He has wisdom now in the main thing that counts. No matter what you accomplish in life is going to pale way off from any importance if you do not get saved. I don't care how much money you may die with. Colossians 2:3, referring to Jesus Christ, tells us, and we looked at that this morning too. I even leaned over and told my wife, I said, somebody's in my sermon. Ever who said this, I talked about you when you read it. Colossians 2:3 says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Was it you? Wisdom and knowledge. Y'all, all wisdom and knowledge is in Jesus Christ. So you want to be wise? Get saved. You want all knowledge and wisdom all banked together? World can have wisdom without knowledge without wisdom. Y'all, we can get it all with Jesus Christ. All wisdom and knowledge is in Jesus Christ. And again, that verse is Colossians 2:3. Do you know him as your personal Savior? I hope so. You know, the great thing is he's available today. He's still in the saving business. If you don't, all you have to do is realize you're lost. And guys don't even do it this easy, but most people do not look for a map or ask for help until they're totally lost. Some guys still won't look at a map. I can do it. Y'all, if you don't know you're saved, good chance you're lost, aren't you? And you need to come to Jesus Christ and ask him. And at that instant, you're just as saved as the Apostle Paul was. Isn't that great? He sees your sins forgiven. It refers to your heart being white as snow. It just, the sins are gone. In God's opinion and in God's eyes. And you don't get any better than that. Because he's going to be the judge. The judge is going to say, justified. You know, these inmates that I deal with, if they went before a judge and he said justified, I'd never meet them, would I? Because they'd have left the courtroom and went home. He's going to see us justified. I guess it's an old saying that says, just as if you never sinned. I don't know about all that, but that's what it means. He chooses to remember, and I've spoke on that, maybe even here, but spoke on that before, that as far as the east is from the west, buried in the deepest sea, there's all kind of neat little things God says, it's gone. I choose to remember it no more. I like that too, when God says that. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for allowing just old dust and clay put together, people, your creation, allowing us to gather and store wisdom from the infinite creator and your word that you had recorded and saved down through the years for us. You just allow such as we are, nothing, to be able to come into your presence and then come into your house in your perfect garden in your heaven that you've created for us to spend forever and ever and ever with you. Thank you that that's available and on the table for us. I again pray that if there's anyone here not saved, that they would realize the importance of not putting it off, as that's one of Satan's chief weapons and play he plays with us is waiting. Help us to do it and do it now if we're not saved. Thank you for us that know you and for again making available the means and the privilege of us to be wise while we're here on this earth. And to be able to work for you. And may souls get saved as a result of us knowing you. Help our lights to shine. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all.